Falls Badlands. The story so far. Miles Lawton has arrived along with an army of beasts, coyotes loyal to the boy, ready to kill at his command and take more lives to feed the master. And as Nana's followers, the mages line up to protect her with guns, knives, and anything at hand, the odds don't look good for the humans against the forces of darkness. Chapter 24. The thunderclap of the first salvo of bullets roared as the line of gunmen opened up on the horde. Most of the shots misaimed by trembling hands missed their mark far and wide. Those shots fired true found fur and flesh and bone, crushing skulls, legs, and jaws. But those so downed by the bullets of men were a mere drop in the bucket compared to those who had made it through. The second line of rifles came to bear, the men shaking hands, desperately searching for aim. From their barrels was let loose the roar of black powder. The bullets, fired in haste, did nothing more than the first volley. Massive paws beat like drums against the dirt as the coyotes charged down the men who dared stand their ground. Not even the nimblest of fingers could reload quick enough, and those who had not dropped their weapons to flee were given no second chance to reconsider. From a dozen feet away, the beasts launched themselves into the air at their prey, their great bodies blotting out the sun from above. The men in the circle wired into the mental solitude of the battlefield had only moments to glance up from their muzzleloaders to bear witness to their gruesome fate, to the claws and teeth. The first wave of beasts hit the ground with a crash, grasping their prey in their jaws or pinning the now helpless under their weight as they tore them to shreds. From the fray came the last mortal screams of 24 souls, cries of unspeakable agony drowned in blood. In moments, the ranks of the mages were cut in half. Not all gave up without a fight. One man, a hardened veteran of the war, spun his empty rifle and crushed the skull of a beast, felling it with one blow before it even hit the ground. As he turned to face another, he never felt the sharp claws tear into his back before severing his spine. Helpless, he laid as the coyote bit onto his body, pulling him away as they took his legs. The pockmarked face man dodged the first beast to come at him and drew a fallen axe from the ground as he tossed his pistol aside. He buried the heavy blade into the neck of one coyote, spinning to split open the head of another in the same breath. The animal's blood sprayed onto his face, into his open eyes, blinding him. And as he went to wipe it away, a set of strong jaws clamped onto his left arm, snapping shut like a bear trap. He could feel the beast's sharp teeth sink all the way to the bone, and from his mouth came a horrible shriek. Gritting his teeth, he uttered the phrase Nana had taught him, the summoning curse that dared never be spoken, and could only ever be used once. His voice croaked, and the words came forth. And the clouds did not open, nor did the release from peril that he had deeply believed would happen for him. And the momentary inkling that the failure was caused by his personal unworthiness was replaced by his mind exploding from pain as a second coyote locked onto his right arm. The two beasts pulled on him like dogs fighting for a bone, tearing his still living body in half. Nana dropped to her knees and clutched her head as if struck as she watched the horror unfold at the base of the hill. Those beasts who had made it past the first and only resistance of the mages were charging toward them, picking off the stragglers and deserters, one by one. The bucket boy had found his end as the massive coyote pounced on his back, mercifully breaking his neck as he fell so he would never know the agony of being eaten alive like the others. And it was as Miles turned his gaze upward toward the hill that Galen could really see the eyes of his brother. And even from this distance, he could sense there was something very wrong, as if what lay behind them was not really his brother at all. The sudden longing to go to Miles snapped, and what filled Galen's heart and mind as he watched the four-legged killers rushing toward him was the overwhelming urge to flee. He turned and grabbed Naina's shoulder. She was gripping her hair in both hands. He pulled her to her feet. "How do we get out of here?" he asked. And all of a sudden, her eyes snapped open at him, and Galen saw it. A flash of anger. And something else, Galen thought. It was the first coyote to reach the hill that she turned to, with a single arm extended. Naina held up her hand, and the beast stopped in its tracks. With her eyes, she caught the coyote's gaze, and what Galen saw made his jaw drop open. The beast turned and launched itself at the next coyote to follow it, clawing at the eyes of its former mate.
"That'll buy us some time! Let's go!"
she yelled, rushing towards the woods.
"How did you do that?"
Galen called out as he ran after her. Miles waded through the bodies laying in the grass, marveling at the scene of this outdoor slaughterhouse of his creation. Once the coyotes had finished, what was left of the Magus was barely recognizable as ever having been human. And there on the ground, he saw it and stopped. It was the eye of his father, the one he had given to Allison all those years ago. The outside was pitted and aged, but there was no mistaking this petrified relic that he had last seen almost a century and a half ago. His fingers closed around the orb, and he slipped it into his pocket, avoiding any chance of staring into it. Not now. There would be time later. He would enjoy this moment. It caught Miles's eye. A number of horses and animals corralled nearby. He wandered over, and a single old burro came to his outstretched hand. Miles stroked Blue's muzzle. He shook his head in disgust at the burro's sunken back and the filmy cataracts growing over the animal's eyes. With a single finger, he pressed into Blue's forehead, and as if shot, the burro fell dead to the ground. Up the hill he heard a commotion followed by a yelp. To his surprise, two of his beasts were locked in combat with each other, with one having just snapped the neck of its brethren. Miles stalked through the bodies, kicking aside those laying in his way. The traitor had taken down another coyote and was preventing others from passing. Pushing aside his beasts, Miles faced the traitor, grinning as it snarled at him. He approached and the traitor snapped at him, his jaws striking like lightning. But as fast as the beast may have been, Miles was faster, moving almost as a blur. With a single blow, he drove his palm into the bridge of the coyote's nose with fatal force, and the traitor fell down dead at Miles' feet. The boy turned to his regiment, eyeing them with a burning anger. Hissed Miles, running his fingers across his throat with a flick of the wrist, and the beasts broke ranks and dashed up the hill toward the two figures, disappearing into the woods. Galen pulled Naina further into the forest. Ahead, the woods grew thick, to the point of what appeared to be sheer darkness. crossing his mind was the memory of his wagon ride down into the valley, back when he had tried to find help for Maria. There had been things in these woods, things which he had not seen, but heard.
"Do you know what's out there?"
Nana asked, her voice full of utter terror.
"Well, if you have a better idea, I'm all ears,"
Galen shouted.
"The river!"
she yelled back at him. From a perch high above, he watched them disappear deeper into the forest, away from the light of open ground, and straight toward the ghosts hiding in its shadows. Cyril knew they were there, because he had come through from the opposite direction, and had seen them, beings hidden on the edge of light and darkness, spirits straddling this mortal plane and the next. These woods were full of them. Cyril had no intention of following Galen and Nana, at least not yet. His quarry was approaching, and he would use his one chance at surprise to the best of his advantage. As the coyotes entered the woods, they slowed from a gallop to a crawl, carefully sniffing the air, for they could tell there was something here that deserved the consideration of caution. Also in the air was the scent of the man and woman they were hunting, and it was in that direction they stalked, keeping low to the ground. Miles came up the hill into the woods behind them, and once he saw the wariness they were exhibiting, he felt his own guard go up. Never had the beasts he'd come to control ever showed hesitancy, and there was something to be taken from this. Though they were moving slowly, he would give them a head start. "Let them clear the path ahead," he thought. There was only so far his brother and sister could run. Soon their mortal bodies would tire. And the coyotes would. The thought broke off halfway in his mind. Miles thought of those out on the field below that the coyotes had plowed under with their mighty jaws and fangs. Her useless army. Her people. Who she obviously let die. Miles's skin turned cold. With a shaking hand, he reached into his pocket and withdrew the petrified eye of his father, all the while unaware of what lurked above. Cyril had seen the boy enter the woods, and as luck would have it, Miles slowly drifted 15 feet underneath the perch he had taken in wait. Silently, he drew his dagger and held it, blade down, as he timed his leap. Miles had been preoccupied, but at the last moment he sensed the danger coming from above. He looked up, just in time to catch the heel of Cyril's boot on his chin. The force of the blow drove Miles backwards onto the ground, as blood poured from his mouth. The hard landing had twisted Cyril's ankle, but the pain didn't register in his mind. Miles lay prone. And now was his chance. Cyril tightened his grip on the knife and advanced on the master who had betrayed his trust. He knew he couldn't kill Miles like a mortal man. But after he was done butchering the monster, there would be very little left to hurt anyone anymore. And as he took another step toward the boy with murder in his eyes, Miles raised straight up to his feet, pivoting on his heels as if on a hinge. With a thumb, he wiped the blood from his lip and turned his enraged gaze at yet another traitor. Cyril's breath froze in his throat. He raised the knife at the boy. He was close enough to take one last shot. But before he could make the move, his body was broadsided by 80 pounds of coyote. The lunge took Cyril right to the ground, and the obedient beast held down its prey as the master approached.
"For you, this is full circle, I suppose," he said. "Pity, you could have served in my right hand."
And with a slight nod of his head to the beast, the coyote tore its jaws into the soft flesh of Cyril's face, obliterating his scream as it disappeared down its throat. They had covered ground as fast as they could, escaping on nothing more than adrenaline. But even the abated death shriek of Cyril, cut off halfway, reached them through the air, reminding them they weren't as far away from danger as they needed to be.
"The river is about a mile ahead," she shouted to Galen, nearly out of breath. "Those creatures won't follow us into the water."
"Are you sure about that?" Galen asked, his legs pumping as hard as he could push them.
"No,"
she answered. Miles had watched with great pleasure as Cyril's lesson had been given. There had been much in the way of struggling, which Miles found satisfactory. And what was left was a body with no arms and legs, skinned and shredded to the bone. He whispered into the ear of the beast, now sated with the flesh of his master's enemy, and the coyote began digging a hole in the earth. At 4 feet deep, it emerged from the shallow grave and pulled Cyril's limbless body into the pit. As it came back out to pick up one of Cyril's arms, Miles stopped it. The beast dropped the torn limb at Miles's command and began filling the hole with dirt as the boy stood and grinned.
"Now let us find them,"
he told the coyote as he stroked its blood-soaked muzzle and headed deeper into the woods. Each breath hurt, but Galen kept moving, and he suddenly realized he was holding Nana's hand as they ran together. Her legs were faltering as she slowed, and he kept trying to keep up her pace. But suddenly her feet gave out from under her, and Nana fell to her knees, again gripping her temples. He tried to pull her up, but he couldn't. Nana cried out in pain, fighting back tears.
"Are you hurt?"
asked Galen. But before she could answer, he heard them coming through the woods, Miles' regiment of unholy creatures, their snarling breath rumbling through the air. Galen stepped in front of Nana, blocking her. From behind trees they stalked, keeping their soulless and hungry yellow eyes affixed on their prey as they began to close the distance in a semicircle around Nana and Galen. He looked at the creatures closing in, their razor-sharp teeth gnashing against salivating gums. They stunk of death and blood, and immediately Galen thought of the day he left his cell at Sagebrush and how he had brutally discovered that Mercy had taken a holiday. The flashes in his mind of feeling his bones crunch in the jaws of these horrible beasts couldn't be pushed away. With his eyes on a swivel, he tried to guess how many there were, but there were too numerous to count. All it would take was one to tear out his throat. And then what? He thought, they could stand around and wait for him to come back to life and do it again and again. If that's what Miles wanted, he was sure of that. There was nowhere to run. They were surrounded and within heartbeats of being eaten alive. That was chapter 24 of Shadow Falls Badlands. What else is there to say except stay tuned for the final chapter coming up very soon? Questions, comments, I want to hear them. Send them to me at shadowfalls@podshowla.com. And of course, big thanks to our friend Monk for I Am Molly's theme, the acoustic version, the Badlands Part 3 theme song. And you can find more about Monk at waxboy.com. So until next time, this is Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, fading to black.
I just begun. I was dead wrong. whisper soft. My words are floating off. Look for my sign.